Thank you very much. And this is my short list of collaborators. Later on comes up a bigger one. I'm going to go quickly on this, and you all know that CRAG1AC is a protein from BT and is a component of all the varieties of BT cotton on the market. And it's one of the main or the main killing power behind the BT cottons at the moment. And just going back a little bit of what Dr. Dennehy and Dr. Mullins talk about, we have more than 10 years with BT cotton in the market, and it has increased. This comes also from the information of Dr. Williams, has come to a penetration to the market at a very rapid pace, in not only in the US but also in Mexico. And citing now Dr. Tabashnik, he says that in one of his papers that this having so much BT cotton out represents one of the greatest experiments on insect resistant management. And I think everybody agrees on that. It's a great experiment, and everybody has some opinion of that. So if this is a big experiment and we have 7 million acres of BT cotton alone in the US, and it has been for 10 years, I think, and CRAG1AC is one of the main components of all the BT cottons. I think looking on CRAG1AC susceptibility can be one thing that can, you know, cover all the cottons at the moment. So that's what we did. And what we employed was an F2 screen, and this is just to look at what is the response of the second generation of field-collected tobacco boll worms. And this particular technique can detect recessive or resistant alleles. And this is, I'm going to go very quickly and schematically on this. This might represent one resistant tobacco boll worm. And if you do pairs, this might be the progeny. Half of them will look like one of the parents and the other parent. And if you mate them with themselves, seed mating, this is what you're going to get on the second generation. This is the F2 screen. You will screen this type of larvae. The most of them will be homozygous susceptible. The other big component will be heterozygous, and only a small component of them will be resistant. All these homozygous susceptible and heterozygous, you can kind of discriminate them or take them apart with bioassays or other techniques like molecular. And with bioassays, this larvae here in the circle will be the one representing a homozygous resistant, and that can be detected by bioassays in this case, my work, but also you can do this with molecular techniques. For the work that I'm going to, the results that I'm going to present now, samples were obtained from six different geographical areas in 2006 and 2007. And kind of bottom line, we performed more than 1,000 bioassays covering somewhere like 1,200 individual tobacco boll worm moths, and we did not detect a single resistant larvae or single resistant sample from the field. This also comes in agreement with the work that we have done with the same diagnostic concentration since 1993. So now here comes a little bit of interpretation of these results. Before the introduction of BT cotton in 1995, Dr. Wold and his collaborators looked at the frequency of resistant alleles in tobacco boll worm. And this is the paper that now is famous. And these were kind of in a short sentence what happened. They found three samples were resistant to CRAG1AC before the introduction of BT cotton, and the sample size that they screened was a little higher than 1,000. There's a recent paper that they look molecularly at 7,000 samples looking for only one mutation. And these collaborators found not one single tobacco bollworm resistant in a 7,000 sample. These samples were frozen from collections from 1996 to 2002. So if we put together the three results that I'm been talking about, here, this the first one on the left is where the three insects that were detected before the introduction of BT cotton into the market. And this, the one on zero, the large bar, are the results of the recently published study. And these two studies are similar in a way that they were looking only for one mechanism. So the mechanism that was present before BT cotton released in 3 in 1,000, now a few years later was 0 in 7,000. So the frequency of resistance on tobacco bollworm according to this screening has decreased a lot. Now our results look also for that particular mechanism because we did bioassays that cover pretty much or cover all the possible mechanisms of resistance. Even though our sample was not 7,000, it's very similar to the study of 1995. So we were screening pretty much 1,000 insects each, and 11 years later, we found none. And this is my long list of acknowledgement of people who have helped me on the past 5 years with input, samples, advice. I haven't thanked you recently, and this is a good time to thank you again. And that's all I have to say, and I'm open for questions if I still have time. Next year, 2009 or 2008, this season? 2008. I would like to devote more time of doing this type of work with fall armyworm. We already began doing that, and we're not abandoning tobacco bollworm, but I think that is going to take like a second tier. We will still screen, but the time, money, will go to fall armyworm. Thank you.
Is that a question?
Oh, now I have a question for the guy here asking a question to Dr. Dennehy. I suppose that Dr. Tabashnik is fine.
Dr. Tabashnik is fine?
Yes. I mean, health-wise.
Health-wise, yes.
Okay. Now, just because you say, well, we're going to take a minute of silence in the honor of Dr. Tabashnik, and I just need to clarify.
My feeble attempt at humor.
Okay.
Very good.